It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in the Great Land. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Hello, welcome to Alaska Realty Today. I'm Lisa Maynard.
I'm Kirk Maynard.
And today we're going to talk about a few different topics, especially addressing the fact with the shorter inventory we're seeing, we're running into some interesting homes, transactions, and so forth. So we're just going to give some of the stories that we're running into as the market has changed.
Yeah, real good. Just education on stuff that could happen. And there's a lot of weirdness out there with the short inventory. But yeah, today we have with us our regular Jamie Napolsky. Thank you, Jamie, for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, one of the reasons I wanted to bring Jamie on is your first year in real estate, anybody's first year in real estate is typically weird. It's just there's a lot of, I don't know why, but we've been doing this a long time, and a lot of the first year people, almost all of them, they just have a really weird, crazy year. They just run into a bunch of weird stuff. So that's what I want to drag out of your brain today is share with us all the craziness that you've seen. And, you know, so it's kind of bad in a way because, you know, some people tend to drop out of real estate just because there's a lot of craziness their first year. But it's good in a way because it should be uphill from here or downhill from here. It hopefully all this stuff is out of the way, and you've probably had like 10 years worth of experience in your first year. So so let's just talk about some of the kind of craziness, the weird ones, the different ones. One that came to mind was a modular home that you had listed, or we had listed, or we were.
Yes.
And just real quick, so everyone knows, when you're speaking of a modular home, because it can confuse listeners, because a lot of people jump to mobile home, which is not true. A modular home is?
Or manufactured home. And so, yeah, manufactured versus modular. And Jamie, you're going to have to help in here because you're probably more of a recent expert than I am. Manufactured versus modular. Manufactured should be considered basically stick-built home. They do throw them up on panels, but they're on a permanent foundation. They tend to be more expensive. And but some modular homes that we got to watch out for, those are the ones that the lenders watch out for. They think they only loan on them after 1976. They have to have the HUD tag displayed somewhere, identified somewhere.
And not all lending institutions will even loan on them after 1976. Some of the outside lenders will not write a loan at all.
Correct. They will not.
As Jamie found out.
They will not. And the HUD certificate is incredibly hard to find. It's never where you think it is. On the couple properties, it actually was painted over. So we had to dig back into even past documents to find it. We found out where it was located, but it had actually been painted over. So, and that's necessary in the sale. So, you know, just again, it's really just funny that you're looking for specific things and you really have to understand that it's never going to be where you think it is, and it's never going to be where the engineer thinks it is, and you're just going to have to not panic and know that together, even with the seller, they have the documentation to find what you need.
Yeah, do your homework ahead of time. I've seen them painted over, sided over. I've seen them in the crawl space. I've seen them in the electrical panel. I've seen them in closets.
I've seen them underneath the electrical panels, fuse box labeling.
Kitchens,
and they've
under
been
kitchen
behind
sinks.
That.
Yes.
Yeah. They're everywhere. A lot of times you can get with your appraiser and they'll tell you where they typically find them or commonly find them. When I think a couple of years ago I had an issue finding one. I actually called an appraiser and he gave me the HUD number. It was, and I think the borough also had it too. So there's a couple different places you can go after it. But what else should we do about modulars? Are they're not an easy squeezy?
No, I think the biggest thing is that you're just going to have to, depending on what side you're on, whether you're on the seller or the buyer side, it's going to be a slow process. Just because, again, depending on when they purchased it, the engineer expectations for lending has changed. So it's just to not, meaning that, you know, maybe when they bought it, it passed an engineer inspection and they didn't have, the lending went through on a conventional loan or even a VA loan. And now what the VA or the conventional or any of the lenders expect, they may want different engineer expectations.
Yeah, just real quick tangent on that piece. Maybe we've mentioned on the show before, but that changes all the time. So if you are selling your house, get with a real estate professional because it went VA when you bought it 2 years ago, 3 years ago, doesn't mean it's going to go VA today. And I know we had one out in Chino Hot Springs that had the primary heat source was a couple pellet stoves and a wood stove. And It went VA then, and then went to resell it. No, that's those can't be the primary heat sources. So I think we had to install a Toyo stove in there.
I think we had to install a second Toyo.
Maybe that's what it was, two levels.
They determined that it was not enough of a heat source, that they required us to put another Toyo on top of the two pellet stoves in the previous Toyo.
So yeah, if you have some untraditional items like that, get with your professional, get with your lender, and we can find out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's real good heads up, Jamie. What else can you tell us about your experience with this modular?
Yeah, I think as a real estate agent, the biggest thing for me was getting everything back on the market if it doesn't go through, and being really encouraging and positive as far as marketing goes, and then changing up the marketing, because I think we're looking at pictures, we're looking at photos, and so we really want to encourage people to come out to the property and see the property, because if I've seen anything here in Alaska, you really have to get on site to kind of visualize whether or not you can live in that place, because a lot of our properties are really unique. We have add-ons or additions that have been made to properties. I think not that other places in the world don't build homes, but Alaskans sometimes tend to build houses for Alaskans. Like, they kind of think, oh, you know what? I could build on this second room, and yep, this is how I'm going to use it. And it might not be a traditional room that we would ever put on a house.
As Lance Cook, the appraiser that we've had on here a couple of times, he calls them more-on houses. They're adding more on and more on.
Yes. Yeah. And so you have to figure out, how do you use that space?
Yeah. We were watching a real estate show the other day, and I think the guy built it in four. He had money in 1991, 1995, 1997, 2000, or something like that. And so you could tell it was built in four stages.
It was a house built in Colorado, but it definitely had the Alaska vibe, because there was a lack of hallways and a lot of rooms interconnected.
Yeah. So I think, as far as those things go, I think I think we just have to be tenacious when it comes to being a real estate agent. And, the properties are unusual. And so we're really selling, you might have, let's take 25-mile Chena Hot Springs. That's a really big distance. So does everybody want to live on 25-mile Chena Hot Springs? There are definitely people that love that area. And then there are some people that feel like it's too far out. But there's some beautiful houses out there. But it just, I think we have to decide, how are we selling that? But there are some really quirky, unusual houses that, or there might be lots of different buildings on the property.
So this modular,
yeah.
So you've made some really good points about remarketing and redoing pictures. You're just driving traffic too, because if you're not driving traffic, you're going to drive offers. Have you had offers on the property?
Yes, we had multiple offers on the property. We've gone under contract twice, and then we are now back on the market again. Based on specifically, it will not go VA or FHA because of the foundation. So we've now done everything. We've had an appraiser come out. We've had we made it that far, and based on what the FHA loan requires for the foundation, it is not what a conventional loan will require.
And so, I think it's important to also note, a lot of times with modular homes, you tend to draw the first-time home buyers or the entry market buyers, because you are most likely getting more square footage for your dime, mm-hmm, and you're also probably getting interior features that you would not be able to afford in a stick home at
True.
The same price point. So that adds another layer of complication, because everyone needs to be educated through the process, because they're probably new to the whole concept of home ownership.
Yeah, it's a great price. It's lots of updated features. It shows really, really well. It also has a two-car garage with a lot of square footage.
That's rare.
It has a huge backyard. But with that, it's a modular home with its own, lending issues. So
If I'm listening to the show right now, it sounds great. I'm going to call Jamie. We usually don't push houses on the show, but it's going to be right for somebody. So, what would make me not scared? What would we need to know?
Yeah, we would want somebody we already have an engineer inspection done, so they would be able to see any additional issues that we have with the property. They would be able to see that all the windows have been updated. They would be able to see that all of the opinions from the engineer that we brought in, that what is being required. So, like, it's being asked to be hurricane proofed. you know, and so we have an opinion from an engineer here that says, when's the last time a hurricane hit Alaska?
Wasn't that a couple days ago?
Yeah. That's exactly. So, you know, I mean, there's specific things that are just a standard that are not necessary to Alaska, but they are necessary to lending. So, you know, that's just something that it's kind of like when they ask us sometimes to do a termite. You know, they want us to, you know, maybe there might be a lender that says, could you do a termite test? Mm-hmm. And then you have to explain there are no termites in Alaska. Yeah. But they still, if they're an outside lender, they still want those things done. So it's kind of like saying we need a foundation set and built for hurricanes. Do you really need that in Alaska?
At least in Fairbanks.
Right. But, you know, that's what they're requiring. So I would need a conventional lender to be able to, for us to do the two simple foundation fixes that are really inexpensive, that are necessary for the foundation to pass inspection, versus a $45,000 foundation redo that's for it to be hurricane proof.
And at this price point, you could also see investors being interested in this and renting this out as an investment property, especially because of its location.
100%.
Is Alaska Housing a possible component for this?
No.
During the renovation program?
They currently aren't. Last time we had them in, they weren't currently going down the path of modulars.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep.
They might change that, but as the last time we spoke with them, they are not going down that path.
Another topic to talk about, can we talk about if somebody is selling a house as a trustee for an estate, is there any guidance you can give them? So if somebody has had a family member pass, they're maybe through will or through probate, now they're the trustee and they are needing to sell the trust's asset, is there any guidance, anything they can do? Do they talk to a professional? Do they talk to an attorney? Do they talk to title?
Yeah, definitely they need to have, they should talk to an attorney. They should have all of the documentation that shows that they are able to sell the property, that everything has legally been passed over to them. But it also just makes things faster. And really, at the end of the day, when you're trying to sell property, you just want things to go quickly and smoothly. Mm-hmm. And so an attorney is able to tell you everything you need to have signed, because the amount of documentation that you need to sell a property, you just want somebody to look things over and make sure that you have all of those things. Because once we are able to hand them over to title, when everything has been done correctly, it's a very fast production of like a certificate. They need to see probably like three documents and we can go very quickly. When it isn't done quickly, it takes weeks to go through the process of getting everything that you need to make sure that you're able to actually sell the property. Because what we don't want is, at the end of the day, you're probably able to sell that property. But what we don't want is that we've missed a step and that we sell the property only to find out it still actually isn't legally able to be transferred to the actual buyer. And then we've caused problems all the way around for multiple people because, you know, that person just wants to move into their house and get ready and do A, B, and C.
And I'm seeing a lot of trust transactions. Mm-hmm. And I think it's you see this all the time when the market gets in the position the market has been in the last 2 years. You have a lot of people that have been sitting on properties, not really knowing what to do with them, not even knowing if they have value, then having a professional reach out to them and tell them that it does have value. So I am seeing a ton of them, and those are things that I think we're going to continue to see with the inventory being tight in Alaska, and it's just stuff that people need to know what they need to be doing to make it go as smoothly, as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Yep. And I think it's time. I think it's time for people to look at, do you want to just continue to sit on a property, or do you want it to attempt to make money if you can make money on a property now? Because there are, if you drive around, there are lots of empty properties that have been sitting for years and years that you're either paying taxes on, or you're not doing anything with it, or you're not
renting
them.
Hopefully paying taxes on.
Right. Or you're hopefully paying taxes on them. But, it's now a market where the seller has some ability to make some profit on them and pay back taxes if that's what the issue is, and then be able to hopefully make a little bit of money if a profit is what they're looking for. And then be able to have somebody flip that house or, live in that house.
Perfect. Let's keep this topic going when we get back.
We're going to take a short break. Thanks.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry, brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. Then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. And don't miss Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30, talking everything food and fun in Fairbanks. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Welcome back to Alaska Realty Today. We're going to continue our conversation about the different transactions we're seeing in the Fairbanks market right now.
Yeah, and we're joined by Jamie Napolsky, who's a regular on our show. Welcome back, Jamie.
Thank you.
I just continue on. Jamie, you got into real estate in the crazy market that we've been seeing the last couple of years, and with a crazy seller's market like it's been, comes low inventory. With low inventory comes quirky transactions, quirky houses. So could we do a little bit of a dive into some of the things that you've seen this last year? The different houses, different transactions, things that got complicated, things that drove you to drink?
Yeah. I think as far as transactions, I mean, there's been a couple. Showing a house, but only for it to go pending while showing. That happened multiple times.
Frustrating.
Yes. So, I mean, you know, again, just being super positive with clients that there's other things out there. One thing I, learned to say to clients was, let's not get attached to anything. So until we find it, until we have it under contract, like, we're just looking. Because people would get their hopes up, like, oh my gosh, this is it. And then I'm like, my phone would ding on showing time and it would say house is pending. And I would go, oh my gosh, it's under contract already.
I'm excited. Wow.
Yep. So,
how did that happen?
You know, again, we're just looking for different things. And then there was a couple getting to locations in the winter. There were a couple times where, you know, the snow was really bad. We were up to our knees going to a showing, but you know you want to see it. So again, that's Alaska.
Are you the one that had the car truck gets stuck, and then the truck got stuck, and then the tow truck got stuck, mm-hmm. and the tractor that pulled the tow trucks and the semi that pulled that guy out?
That was someone showing a property out in North Pole, and it was not a realtor in our office. It was someone else, and she was new to Alaska, and she drove a two-wheel drive vehicle to places she should not have been.
Yeah, and I saw a picture. It was just the vehicles kept getting bigger that got stuck, and it was all the way to a semi, and they all got stuck. So that wasn't you, okay.
No. So that definitely happened. You know, I think going over engineer inspections, that was shocking to a lot of people.
To buyers?
Yes. You know, just seeing all the bullet points. I think our engineers that we're working with are really thorough. So they're listing a lot of things like, you know, like when we brought in Vince a couple weeks ago, things that they can work on in the future. And sometimes seeing that list is really overwhelming. So talking them through, that was just like, let's not panic over this. Let's go over it and discuss what's going on. You know, a lot of things do need work. Things do break down, but it's not, some of them are really, really easy fixes. They're $2 fixes or, right. You know, but when you look at that list, it looks like a very overwhelming
list.
Yeah,
first time home buyer and you're like, oh my God, this is.
And that's why I think it's important that you go through your engineering report with a realtor, your realtor point by point, because Kirk does the same thing and he'll go one, even if it's on the phone, step by step. This is a big deal. I don't think this one is. And then talk about the last few pages, which are maintenance areas, and that not to get dredged down. This is just basically your handbook for your house of what you should do. This does not mean everything needs to be done before it closes.
Yes, I love that.
No, and that's a good point. And like we have one that we knew it was a great house, only on the market for a day. Good houses, good prices are still going to go quickly. So we accepted it. We didn't write in as is, but we just gave full price offer. We accepted their inspection report, but we didn't buy it as is. We didn't ask for any repairs either, but, you know, it's got it's a small house, but it's got one beam, wood beam, the foundation that is in the dirt, and it needs to be replaced, and it needs to be, you know, appropriate for being in dirt. So so I gave the buyer four contractors. She called them. She's actually meeting one of them tonight to go look at it. And if it's a, you know, $30,000 fix, we'll probably move on and do something else.
Yeah.
If it's still high price, we might negotiate price. If it's a little thing, then she'll probably just absorb it and, you know, deal with it into the transaction.
And all buyers have to remember, even if you're buying a property as is, you still have your 15 days of inspection where you can really dig through the property and figure out, is this the right thing? Are you willing to take on everything that has to be done in the property? Because a lot of people jump to the conclusion as soon as you say as is you do no more investigation. You're taking it as you saw it on your first showing and you're done. And that's just not true. You're able to still do your own right of inspection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other crazy ones I've seen, we have one where the buyers took occupancy. They're doing an IRHA. We thought all the work was done. Another realtor stepped into the transaction for the previous realtor and come to find out zero was done. So we went from being told everything's done, we're about to close, to nothing's done and it needs a new roof and it needs all new paint on the outside. So he's saying $30,000. Of course, he was estimating high and probably just frustrated. But they moved in. They did a $0 early occupancy. And here we are 2 weeks later. They're still living there rent-free while we're trying to sort all this out. So for me, that's kind of a crazy one. It's a little more complicated. You got people in a house, not under contract anymore, out of contract, out of their early occupancy contract. So doing work to a house, trying to hopefully still piece this together. But yeah, it can be tricky. RHA requires everything to be done on the engineer's list, and yeah, it needed a new roof and it needed new paint. And shame on me because I didn't look hard enough, and I was being told it was being done, but I should have went out and verified and had a little more hands on it. So just be careful for my lesson learned. Be careful on those type of transactions. Talk to one of us before you do RHA. It's great. It's a great grant. It's a great program. It helps a lot of people get into houses, but they're just trickier and you need to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
What else have you seen your first year that's a little outside? What houses have you seen that are a little outside of the norm?
just houses, unusual, you know, unusual layouts. But I was thinking one thing I had that was not, it was just not funny, but it was we did a final walkthrough. And with my buyers, I touch everything. So I'm just as hands-on as they are because I don't want us to miss anything. So, you know, when we're turning on stoves, when we're turning on microwaves, I want to make sure everything works.
Yes.
The washer, the dryer,
yep.
You know,
we
like
do too. Yep.
We are touching everything. And so the first time I remember doing it, the buyer was like, what are you doing? And I was like, we have to sign off on all these things. Let's make sure everything works. Push every button, you know, turn the lights on. We got to run the water.
Yeah, inside lights, outside
yes.
water. We were doing one yesterday.
And what she's referring to is we have an internal brokerage checklist. And I think I'm up to probably over 50 items that are verified and made sure that they're working, that Kirk makes sure is signed off on, so everyone is getting what they expect.
Yes.
We flush every toilet.
Yes.
I know the hot water was reversed on mine yesterday, so I had to show her in the upstairs shower that hot was cold, cold was hot.
Oh,
just make sure they're not surprised.
One, we were struggling to figure out. I mean, once we figured it out, it was so easy, but the faucet, how the faucet looks so pretty, but we couldn't figure out the shower, how to turn it on. And then once my family member had one that was similar, and I was like, I wonder if this is what it is, and I did it, and it was super easy, and then I showed it to her, and she was like, oh my gosh, so easy. But the funny story I had was we were doing everything and there was a brand new dishwasher, brand new. And it was not, I couldn't get it to turn on. And so I was trying to flip the switches and I was like, this is so bizarre. It's brand new. It was not hooked up.
That happened to us three times last year. Not plugged in, not hooked up.
But then as we like investigated this further and pulled it out, there was nothing to hook it up to.
Oh, there's no plumbing?
No plumbing. Oh. No, nothing. And
ours
so
just wasn't plugged
in. So once we investigated it, but I mean the other realtor on the other side that I worked with, phenomenal. But it, I mean, never would I have even thought that we would have needed to pull that out and look at it. So, I mean, we stopped. I stopped everything that we were doing. Yeah. We looked further, and I was just like, this is going to be an issue because now I can't verify if this – it looks brand new, but for all I know, it could have been sitting here 10 years. You know, so we worked with the other realtor. We got them, you know, a credit to what they wanted. Everything worked out fabulous in the transaction. But I just, it was so important and so valuable. And I think those are things that, you know, we talk a lot about, is a realtor valuable? Is a realtor not valuable? But you can easily miss those things if you're not going through with somebody else. And I think that's why it's so important to have somebody else's eyes. Because my clients were just like, oh, it's fine. It's new. And I was like, oh, no, I'm sorry. We touch everything. I don't care if it's new or not new. Tags on, tags off. Everything runs. Everything works.
And on that note, that's why we do a buyer final walkthrough, because it's so much easier to control it before closing or before recording than afterwards. Afterwards, sellers got their money. They're off at Disneyland, and it's just so much harder to get stuff done than if you're like, hey, we're not going to close or we're not going to record until we resolve this and come have a meeting of the minds because this isn't right. So
yeah.
No, that's a good important piece. I'm glad you brought that up. And
I think people also have to remember, especially on the selling side, if you're replacing appliances, and we can speak to this, if Lowe's is, or Home Depot is running up there and they're saying they're delivering and putting in, that does not necessarily mean install. So you have to double check, because they will just slide it into position unless you specifically talk to them about what you want. And so that, I think, is where we see the dishwasher and, well, not having plumbing is an issue, but like ours was just basically they slid it in and didn't connect everything. That you need to, as a seller, to communicate to Home Depot and Lowe's what your expectations are.
Yeah,
and buyer final walkthroughs are and it's a good education. Like the one we did yesterday, it was her first house, and she's also newer to the United States. And so it was just good. I mean, we spent a full hour just running through, I mean, their security systems. We talk about the horseshoe pit, what stuff in the shed, what plants, you know, flora and fauna and trees were out there, and what to do and care for those.
Where the garbage cans go, and when garbage, the trucks come by to pick them up in town.
Yeah.
It's just the heated towel rack that I don't think I've ever seen one of those in my life, but Lisa has, and gave her an education on that. But just how to, you know, with the zones, how to heat those, the garage doors. I mean, it was a good thorough education, almost like an inspection, but it's just your buyer final walkthrough. So we require them, our office does, and we started this 15, 20 years ago, and other brokerages took on doing this, but then stopped. About 3-4 years ago, they just quit doing it. I don't know if I missed a meeting or somebody got sued.
There was a special meeting and they just stopped.
But I've asked brokers all over the state and all over the country, and they're all like, yeah, you do a buyer final walkthrough. But people aren't doing them. People aren't sharing them. If they are doing them, it's really weird.
And it's just the Fairbanks market. Anchorage, everyone else is. Lower 48 is. It's just one of our little quirks.
For me, I would question your real estate professional if they don't do a buyer final walkthrough. So we do. So don't be afraid of us.
Yeah, and today, thank you so much for joining us. And you didn't get a math lesson on Saturday. And go ahead and enjoy your Saturday and stay tuned for The Buzz.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at kfarradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to kfar.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, a Last Frontier Media Active production.